Mr. Barbacek.
How's it going?
All right. Welcome to the podcast. Welcome back, everybody. So glad you guys are listening. We got the Mr. Barbacek on the line. I'm Mr. G. Let's get into it.
Yeah. So today we're going to do things that came up over the holiday break I think would be fun to talk about. One of them being the stigma associated with doing what we do, which we've overlapped that topic a few times. And then an interesting conversation came up about the terminology of our course title, what we call our class title on LinkedIn. So we're going to talk a little bit about that, as well as, I don't know how well you guys remember from episodes past, we used to do shout outs, and we have not done a shout out in a long time. So we're actually going to just binge shout out a few people on Instagram that we've been connecting with and following. And that's gonna be our new episode for the new year.
Nice. That sounds good. So what's the LinkedIn article you're talking about?
So on LinkedIn, well, you posted our podcast and you titled it Makerspace versus Industrial Arts, which is really cool. It makes it sound like a WWE match or something. But BattleBot style. But people read that title without listening to the podcast and assumed that there was like conflict, right?
Yes. So, admittedly, I came up, you know, with a title that clearly wanted to spark a debate. And the title was shop class, or it was industrial arts versus makerspace. Or in reverse that order. But Makerspace is super popular. Everyone knows. But industrial arts is kind of where everything came from. What's in the title? So I had college friends comment on there right away. One guy said, I don't know what this is about, but just so you know, I'm pro Makerspace. And I'm like, yeah, man, I'm pro Makerspace too. Why don't you listen to the podcast? I'm trying to defend the Makerspace, but also integrate industrial arts. I think there's a combination that needs to happen. And then we had some machinists comment on there as well.
Right. People started adding like what they think the class should be called. And I think we did this in an earlier podcast. I think it's called What is Shop Class?
Oh, and we kind right.
of, I think that was episode one. We talked about all the different names that are out there for doing what we do.
Right. I mean, even the organizations that support us can't figure out their titles. They said, when I started, it was the New Jersey Technology Education Association. Then they're like, whoa, 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 we got to throw engineering in there. So now they're the NJTEEA, which is Engineering Association at the end there. And then the national one is the ITEEA, and then you have Makerspace, which that's a breakaway from those. There's no engineering in that title at all. And then you have STEM, science, right, technology, engineering, math. Oh, and then we have to throw art in there, so STEAM, and it's just all over the chart.
Yeah. Yeah, you could rebrand this and retitle it 1,000 different times, And at the end of the day, for me, you know, I think in that dialogue, it seemed like some people were bothered by the term industrial arts. And I've met shop teachers who are bothered by the term shop class. At the end of the day, here's what it comes down to for me. I'm curious to see what other people's opinions are on this. Comes down to a few things for me. One, there's always going to be a new acronym. Education's like the fashion industry. Somebody always has to know the latest and greatest. They just make new stuff up.
How dare you compare us to the fashion industry?
So that's, well, yeah. And the fashion industry actually has more reason to do this than we do. The second thing I think about is what does it need to sound like to my audience? So if I'm talking to a parent and they don't know what STEAM is, but they know what shop class is, I'm going to use the term shop class. You know what I mean? And if I'm talking to an administrator and they want me to be steamy, I'm going to use the term STEAM. I'm going to adapt to what I think will resonate the best with my audience to sell the job. And then at the end of the day, I don't care what I teach. I teach students. That's what I teach. So
I like that. You what do you teach? Students.
Students.
So I like it.
I think as strongly as opinionated as any of us might be on the semantics of what we do, we all remember that at the end of the day, I'm sure. So,
yeah. What, you know, in the comments, what the thing that I replied was, I love that you say students, because then it kind of like, all right, we can't argue with that. What I would say is it's applied. You know, you're applying all the other academics into this thing. So you could apply science, applied science. Like, let's make actual things that actually work. And then some people call them incubators. It's endless.
Right. Yep. Yeah. So I've even taught under the course title vocational education in my last
degree. They're vocational. I forgot about that word too.
Mm-hmm. So yeah, there's that, but it was interesting. So if you got your two cents on that, shoot it our way. Yep. We'll be happy to include it. And then I ran into an interesting holiday situation. I get kind of, you know, I guess I get kind of spoiled. We've talked about stigma on this podcast before, and I know it's a real thing, but I'm very blessed to be in a community that supports what I'm doing. We don't have a large, you know, college-bound population. We definitely have college-bound students, but it's not like this, you know, we've accepted as a community that we're not going to send everybody to college. And the community is open and receptive to, like, me doing what I'm doing and how I'm doing it pretty well. I haven't fought much stigma here. There was some when I first started, but once they saw the professionalism I brought to the table, it's really been mitigated to almost zero. And I forgot how bad the stigma was until I was at my family discussing. I was at my family for the holidays. I was discussing teaching with my mom and my dad, and I was discussing about how I had this situation at one point in my career where a student wanted to take my class, but couldn't because it conflicted with an honors level course, like an AP style course.
Right.
And he quote unquote needed that. And I was like, you do you, man. And he's like, well, I want to be an engineer. And I was like, well, then you need to be in the shop class, advanced AP anything. I don't know. It's not gonna exactly help you be an engineer. An honors level course is not gonna help you be a better engineer. So, anyways, right. I just told the kid that in a very, you know, non like here's what you need to do way. You decide for yourself. But at the end of the day, you know, that's where you need to be if you need to make your goal of being an engineer. Man, and my father decided to pretty assertively tell me about how I need to be careful giving advice to these kids. He says, well, whether it's right or wrong, the person hiring is going to be looking at that. And I said, yeah. So wouldn't the person hiring want the engineer who took shop class instead of like, instead of advanced academia? And he was like, well, no, they're going to want this and this and this. And I was just like, okay, well, then maybe that student shouldn't work for that engineering firm. It's like,
yeah.
It's like, if they're going to over-prioritize this, maybe that's the case. So my father ended up like going to bed because he just didn't want to put up with the resistance I was building. And then my mother brought up a point that, like, I wouldn't be where I was at if I hadn't done all the honors course that I had done. And the whole time, I'm just kind of like, the only point I'm trying to make is there's no hierarchy of knowledge. And I ended up upsetting both of my parents by trying to say there's no hierarchy of knowledge. That honors class is not more important than my shop class. My shop class is not more important than that honors class. It just depends on the application that kid wants to apply it to. So it was crazy.
Yeah. Yeah. So that's the norm for you know, yeah. The world that I live in is that's the norm. If you don't go to college, you know, there's something wrong with you, you know? And look, I benefited from going to college. Absolutely. But I feel that the key to my success was to learn how to make stuff with my hands. You could study all you want and you could study the theories and you can do all this stuff, but until you actually make something or try and create something, it doesn't have to be, even if you're a writer, I would say if you create something for the market or something for the road. So like when I say the road, I mean something that actually works. It doesn't, you don't have to sell it, but like as long as if you make a table and the table breaks, well, now you know the legs are weak or your joinery or whatever it is. If you make a car and the car can't go down the road, then you did something wrong. If you make something for the market and it doesn't sell, well, you did something wrong. So you could study all you want, but until the rubber hits the road, there's nothing there. And what I think shop class does, or working with your hands, is it tests you out. You know, because nature, that's the beauty of this whole thing. It doesn't matter what your parents think or my parents or me or you. None of that matters. Two things are real. Physics, like nature doesn't care, and the market doesn't care. You know, so like whether you could, if you could have a product that people enjoy and buy, that's the reality of whether it's accepted. And then the nature of it, do the rubbers, you know, when you turn the car, does it turn? When you put the leg on the table. So rubber meets the road, and does the market accept it? Those are really the only two things that matter.
Yeah, totally.
And I feel like shop class tests that out as a number one priority.
Right.
There's not much theory in shop class, in fact. It's less theory.
Yeah. Yeah, it's an important contrast there. Right. So it's got me thinking. I'm trying to build this dialogue up so that mm-hmm. I can go to the school board and at one, you know, they revamped our honors program last year. And basically it was, you got to take, you know, all these higher level math.
Yep.
And that's what, you know, pressures some of these students into thinking they can't take the shop class or something else. And I was a victim of this as well when I was in school. And so I'm trying to build this dialogue of there's no hierarchy of knowledge, and why are we feeding this? If a kid wants to be a welder, like, can we give him an honors in welding? You know what I mean? Like, can we just take the time he'd spend in advanced geography or advanced AP English or whatever? And can we just apply his strengths right here and now and then give him an honors recognition for that? I just want to move away from this hierarchy of knowledge, this whole concept that this type of knowledge is more important than that type of knowledge.
Yeah, I agree.
I don't know how to do that yet. How to sell that or whatever, but I'm sure through the course of this podcast, we'll build that dialogue more.
Yeah. And the people listening and they've had success in this area, you know, feel free to send us a message. That would be great.
Yeah, totally. So speaking of people listening, we got some folks that listen some, don't listen some, but message us some and have some good stuff going on in their classrooms as well. So I let's get into the shout outs, the Ben shout out session.
Yeah. Okay, who do you want to start with?
I'm going to bring up JDietrich76.
Yeah,
because he's fresh on the mind. Yep. So, Justin, as much as I know, I'm going to go off of memory here, but you can correct us if you're listening. He's a shop teacher in Illinois. He taught building trades for a long time. He taught now he's teaching woodworking. And he's a family man. You can tell when you follow his Instagram stories, he's pretty active in his shop. He's got actually, I should shout out his shop class Instagram, which is Rail Splitter Wood Shop. Mm-hmm. We'll put a link to some of these people below in the show notes or whatever.
Yep.
And I don't know. He's just pretty active with – he's constantly doing a project, which is cool. And then when he's got his camera in the classroom, it's cool to see what he's got his students working on. He was also, if you want to get more in-depth, he was on the Green Woodworker podcast. I think it was like episode 96 or something, where he kind of talks – he really does a good job of advocating for shop teachers and kind of like highlighting our role in the maker community, which I was much appreciative of, and feel like there could be more room for some of that.
Yeah, I see. I'm looking through the his Instagram, and I remember watching this story about him building a he built like a, you know, kind of one of these Thor hammer looking things. I guess it's a mallet, and he engraved it, and then he gave it to a student as an honorary you know, as a gift. Let's see. Outstanding wrestler of our tournament. And yeah, the student won the 145-pound weight class, and then he, you know, walked over and gave him the, you know, engraved with his name. So it's like a, imagine a teacher made something by hand and then gave it to you as your award. That's kind of cool.
Yeah, pretty cool.
Yeah,
totally.
So he does a really good job representing the shop teacher community. I really like it.
Cool.
Nice.
Yeah.
All right. Next up.
The next one I'm gonna throw out there is Desert West Wood Shop.
Okay.
And he's one of the first you I think I met you on Instagram first, and then he was shortly after I met you, he was the second teacher I met on Instagram.
Wow.
And he's a woods teacher. I think he's been teaching for 3 years now, relatively new at it, but I mean, what he gets from student output and student engagement makes him look like he's got a lot more than 2 or 3 years of experience, teaching high school. He had some experience at a university level, if I remember correctly, but he does these sweet wood sculpture projects with his students.
Mm-hmm.
He'll break that down in his stories sometimes, and it might be even in his highlight reel, where basically these kids are like carving fish and masks. And
oh yeah, he calls it the free form.
That's right. Yeah, that's right. The free form projects. He does a really good job with those. I think those are sweet.
Yeah, that's excellent. That's cool stuff. Yeah, I mean, I remember seeing him. Doing stuff with it. I remember seeing this one photo a while back. Let's see how far back this is. I guess it's not that far ago. Maybe a year ago, he had an eagle or talon or something landed on his a hawk landed on his arm. And I was like, what is this? This guy's crazy. This is great. So that's cool. Yeah, this is great. I mean, I get excited seeing woodshop teachers really proud of their work and showing the process. I think the key to the whole thing is it's not just the photos, it's the story. And that's really exciting and helpful for other shop teachers to see.
Right. Yeah. What I like about seeing what he's doing is he does, he pulls in a very strong art angle, you know, with his style. And I find a lot of inspiration from that because I don't have a strong art background, but it's cool to see how he's got a much stronger one for sure. And then how he kind of, how he teaches that to his students. Cause that's a tough thing to teach, that kind of creativity and art.
Mm-hmm.
and bringing that out of a kid. So yeah, props to him. And he does a good job of documenting the process here and there. And it's always cool to see.
Nice. Okay. Let's see. And Curtis.
Ian Curtis.
Yeah, I messed it up. Sorry.
Oh, I don't know. I don't know if it's Ian Curtis or Ian Curtis.
It's Eric, right?
Okay, Eric.
Yeah. Let me pull it up here real quick.
Now, he doesn't post a whole lot about shop teaching.
It's Eric Curtis. Yeah, and he just did a like a highlighted project with Anne of All Trades.
Yeah, I saw that. I saw that he did a stool with her. Yeah. No, it was a table.
It's like a side table, but it's got these three-dimensional legs.
But what I do remember from his posts regarding specifically shop teaching, he does really cool posts like just design projects. I like that he just says, hey, I got the design projects. These are my constraints. I'm going to go for it. And he's good at documenting that process as well. And I'd love to see more of how he relays that to his students because, you know, I think it was the end of last quarter around there. He highlighted some of his students' projects where he gave them design constraints. And so this is an angle, too, that I think is very impressive when you can facilitate it correctly, is putting students in a position where you give them constraints. They're not building the cookie cutter project, but they've got enough constraints that they're challenged, but not so many that they feel they're put, you know, boxed into a corner. And there's a skill there. There's a skill to that. I'm constantly trying to hone that skill. And I don't think I've very successfully ran like a design challenge project in the way that he has. And so I'd love to kind of pick his brain a little more and see what it is that he does with his students. But I don't know much else besides that. I just know he's got a very good mind for design, and I got to believe he relays that to his students pretty well. And Eric Curtis, E.N. Curtis on Instagram, if you're listening to this, we'd love to hear more and see more of that kind of shop teacher
back. Just to highlight, one of the things that caught my eye was he made this wooden bow tie at some point. I think it's a pretty popular post.
Yeah, I remember that.
Yeah.
Very creative.
And then I think he has his own shop as well as the high school, you know, shop. And then he just talked about Saw Stop was triggered in his shop when he wasn't there over the holiday at some point. So he was talking about that. So there's a lot of good information on his Instagram.
Right.
Okay.
So
next up,
Raula Majuka. I don't know if I said that right, man. This guy is from Finland and he listens to our podcasts religiously. And he's awesome at if I post something that I'm kind of thinking about or whatever, man, he will chime in, send me a direct message, tell me what's up. And that's like super cool and super helpful and super fun to hear about a guy from Finland.
Yeah, that's cool. It's amazing the reach of the podcast and the community. It's great.
Yeah. So he's definitely a favorite of mine.
Nice. Now, is it a shop class he teaches, or is it is it his own company?
Oh, he's a teacher for sure.
Oh yeah, look at this.
But I don't know how it works in Finland. Where if he I'd love to talk to him about it one day. Maybe we'll do that one day. I asked him to be on the podcast once, and he's not crazy about podcasting. But maybe even if we can get a written, you know, some written responses from him in an interview format, that'd be awesome because I'd love to hash out what Finland, you know, everyone praises Finland as number one educator in the world. Right. And we need to be more like Finland. And then some of the messages we've had back and forth, it almost seems like we have more in common than different, but it's hard to tell, you know, it's a kind of a narrow window to look through. But I'd love to kind of expand, you know, pull the curtains back on that window a little more. So, Raula, if you're listening, maybe I'll come up with like a list of kind of interview questions that would help us kind of compare and contrast not just Finnish and U.S. education system, but Finnish and U.S. kind of shop education system. And I think that'd be a lot of fun.
Yeah, that's a good one.
I will say this one thing I've noticed about his posts and our correspondence is Finland seems to be really keen about making sure their students are working in much safer shops than we have here.
Interesting. Yeah, SawStop is optional here. And
is it not optional there?
I don't know, but why is that optional at all? I mean, airbags are not optional on vehicles.
It's true.
I don't get it.
There's they locked down that patent SawStop, dude.
Oh, I see. So there's no competition.
There's no competition.
Then it would be a monopoly.
That's the part. That's the part I don't get. You know, Volvo made the seatbelt, and they just said, hey, everybody, you get to use the seatbelt design. Go.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, I understand. I understand both sides of that.
Right.
Okay. What do you got next?
West Holmes underscore BT. This is a building trades teacher in Ohio, and he posts pretty regularly. He does a sweet job of building camaraderie and teamwork on his crews. So he does building trades projects, house projects. He does middle school and high school. This and all this stuff I'm reciting because I just, my Instagram feed is full of these people. This is my television. Like, I don't watch TV. I sit down and watch all these shop teachers we're talking about.
That's a great way of putting it. I feel really lucky that I can just look at Instagram or Twitter or YouTube, and I choose to look at other career professionals, and I don't have to look at someone selling me something. I look at my peers. It's great.
Totally, yeah. So he does middle school through high school building trades, and like I said, a lot of his posts you'll see are videos of him, like, you know, giving some student a prize for the week for being, for having a good work ethic, very sociable with his kids. You can tell he takes time to build very healthy relationships with his students, and on top of teaching them electrical, drywall, building, roofing. So I've seen some really cool stuff come across his feed. Definitely worthy of a follow.
Nice.
In fact, we had a book club moment, him and I. He let's see, which book? Oh, The Hard Hat. He recommended The Hard Hat, and he has the students read The Hard Hat. It's amazing. It's a book about teamwork and about being inspired by a peer who unfortunately passed away. But I think it was on a rugby team. It's a good book. It was just kind of one of those cool moments where he's like, oh, yeah, and I picked out the book and read it just because he's some guy on Instagram.
Nice. All right, next up is Zach. And we've talked about trying to get him on. We had a technical difficulty with the podcast at one point. I did interview him. He's got a lot of stuff going on. That's Tim. Zavakis.
Tim or Zach? Did you say Tim or Zach?
No, I meant to say Tim. It's Tim Zavaki.
Okay.
And it's Zavaki.
His handle is?
Yeah, Zavaki underscore tech underscore ed.
All right.
And he's in New Jersey. He's, you know, but he's pretty far from me. But he's got really cool stuff where he does multi contrast. I don't know what you call it, but when he does these wood turnings, they're like a glued together of like several different types of wood in this beautiful contrast. And then he also has a background, and he's taught all sides of shop. He's done everything from like printmaking to like video editing to lathe work and then woodwork. I think he even did metal at one point. You know, he's all over it. And he also does Arduino and drafting, and so he's done every side of the job. So pretty interesting guy.
Yeah, that's pretty cool. I remember that when we did try and record a segment with him, and we were having bad connection issues. But that was one of the takeaways I had, was somebody who'd done so many things. And I think there's a topic there that we could discuss at a later date. I don't think it's very. It's not taboo for us, the shop teachers, to get faced with teaching a course that we don't have a lot of experience in.
Yes.
Yeah. Would you agree?
Oh, totally. I think that. Yeah.
I think that happens more often, like pretty frequently. Like I know it's happened to me quite a few times. It's probably happened to you.
Yeah. Well, when I first started, I taught three sections of. You have to teach five classes in my district. So I taught three classes of drafting and two classes of basic automotive. Now, I love cars to the bone, but at the time, I wasn't overly qualified for that. I was I probably just made the cut. I passed all the tests, and I've done ASC, one certification and whatnot, but I didn't have that much experience. And I grew into it. So, now the drafting class is actually handed over to a couple other people. I still teach, CAD drafting and whatnot to some students. You bounce around and you make it work. Some classes you want to teach, some classes you don't. My thing, I always tell teachers that they should really draft up their own curriculum, even if the school's not asking for it, because you can kind of sway them and say, hey, this is what I want to try. And then you'll know whether, your class is going well because you want to be there and you crafted it, or because if you're teaching someone else's ideas, it's that doesn't really work,
Yeah, I've been thinking a lot about to build off of that trying to work an angle to have specific course titles. I don't have any specific course titles, meaning my course title is industrial arts. But like, if I could just run just a small engine class, like I've never experienced that. I've never experienced a course title that has a small scope.
Oh, I see. Right.
Besides with CAD, with CAD I have, but other than that, everything has always been very broad, general, up to me. And so I think it'd be kind of interesting to run. The issue we have in my school is so small, you just can't get enough enrollment no matter what you call it. So it ends up being.
I like broad better. Broad's better for me.
Yeah,
because if you're teaching CAD, then you're stuck. You might be stuck in a CAD room, and then you can't go down to the shop and build something. Maybe you have more flexibility, but what I found is that you get kind of pigeoned into the rooms because of the schedules. And then when a guidance counselor looks at the title, they don't really understand like what's really going on. What they'll do is they'll just say, okay, that's CAD. That meets in this room, and that's the only thing they teach. So it kind of pigeonholes it a little bit. I like what I have now. I have intro to engineering and advanced engineering. And I have green engineering too. But honestly, if you're teaching good engineering, you're doing green engineering anyway. So,
Right.
So, So anyway, the titles are kind of – I like broad titles better.
The reason I want to try it out is because I think it'd be helpful with student expectations. I got students who like come to my class and they have no idea what to expect. And then they'll create their own expectations. Like, well, I'm going to learn welding. And sometimes like, well, I'm not set up to teach you or the class welding right now. So we're not,
I see.
And so it'd be nice. I think it'd be more fair to them if I could get some better scope on it. But as I build the program and develop the program, it is getting its own scope, even in a broad sense. So there is some of that, but I've always thought about that, and I'd like to try it at least once.
Yeah, that makes sense. Yeah, of course. Then at least you can prepare. I mean, I guess broad's a little difficult because I do have to keep some, all my machines running, and it kind of thins me out sometimes. That's true. Yeah, I could see that, Chris. And sure.
Yeah, I don't think I could ever walk away from broad, but this brings up another conversation. I'm actually going to add a guy to our list here real quick.
Mm-hmm.
Because I spoke with him once. He was helping me with some 3D printer stuff, and he teaches in Michigan, and he's got that. He actually, we're going to have to have him on the podcast sometime because his story is very similar to my story in a way. When him and I get connected, we didn't speak for very long, but he walked in, kind of got a program off the ground running. And then he worked towards specific titles, and he hops around a lot. So he's doing, I think he had like building trades and welding and home repair and woodworking, a bunch of different titles. And so it was kind of interesting to talk to him because he did walk into like a more general program and work towards specifics, but he worked towards making sure there's a lot of specifics in the program. And this guy, you can find him, SCHS Shop S as in Sparta, C as in Charlie, H as in Henry, S as in Sparta, shop. Yeah, I'd like to connect with this guy more. He's got some good posts.
Great. Yeah, let me pull him up here. Who do you got next?
Double J 304. He's a good friend of ours.
Nice. Yeah, JJ Ford.
He's got the middle school angle. So he's our middle school rep for sure.
Got it.
Because he does the 6 through 8, I think. 6 through 8, yeah. And he does 9 week. He helped us with the bicycle repair podcast.
Right.
And he's collaborated with me on some safety stuff and is sweet. Nice thing about him is we can send him stuff and he can test it out because he's got the kids for 9 weeks. So he gets a bunch of fresh starts.
Oh, I see.
So he gets a lot of opportunities to test new ideas out.
Yeah, and it's kind of cool because he's also a bike mechanic on the side, and he's going to bring that into the classroom, which I always like because I worked at a bike mechanic, and I wish I did more of that. If I ever find time in the schedule, it's kind of relaxing to go in there, and you're helping people. They want to get on the road. So it's cool that he's got – like I think a lot of shop teachers are like that. They got one foot in either repair or some sort of engineering service, and then they got the other foot in teaching. And I just think that's a great combination.
Yeah, and the kid, yeah, totally. It'd be nice if it balanced out better.
The kids know it too. Right. The kids know it. They they could tell. They ask you questions, and you're like, "Well, I was on the job the other day," and they're like, "Oh, really? Where was that?" You know, and they can relate to you as more than just the person in the high school or the school. You know, you're not just a teacher. Yeah. You know, so that's good stuff.
Right. Yeah, you're not just preaching about the real world. You're living it. As well,
that goes back to the applied again,
right? Yeah, totally.
Okay, so, who's next?
I got one more here, and that's Luke Lockridge. His Instagram handle is Lockridge Designs. He's another middle school guy. He would be our robotics rep.
Oh,
does a lot of middle school robotics stuff.
Good to know.
I got to meet him. I was taking a class in Indiana near my hometown, and that's one of the reasons we were able to connect is he messaged me one day when he found out where I was from. He was like, "Oh my gosh, I'm from, you know, right next to you." And I was like, "Well, I'm going to be right there pretty soon. Can I stop by?" He said, "Hell yeah." And opened up his shop and gave me a little shop tour. Sweet takeaway from him is he made a ruler, out of felt, a large one, and hung it up in his classroom. And then one of the students' jobs is to change. He's got 5 Velcro arrow points, and they eat. And one of his students' jobs is, and when they come in the morning, is to take those 5 arrows and point them to different points on the ruler. Mm. And then his warm-up activity for all his students is they just come in, they have to read the ruler. They got to read what the 5 points say on the ruler. And I don't know, it was so simple, but I haven't implemented that yet, but like that's on my to-do list over the summers to make one of those felt rulers. I thought it was a simplistically genius idea.
That's pretty cool. I like that. Yeah, that's good. Anytime you can kind of expand, put a magnifying glass on something that, you know, beginners, you know, look at like it looks like a kaleidoscope to them probably. And
yeah,
you know, cool.
Right.
All right. So, is that it for today?
Yeah, that brings us in. You know what I'm going to do? I got a whole list here. See, what started this for me was I had a student coming to observe me, and she is studying to be a shop teacher.
Mm-hmm.
And so I was getting some stuff together, and I thought, what would be most useful to someone just getting into teaching? And so I just basically pulled up a few of my posts, and like my posts pretty much only get liked by shop teachers, you know. And I pulled up a few of your And I pulled up a few other shop teachers' posts and just made sure to try and pick all the shop teachers out of there I could. So I'm actually going to put this list of that I gave her. I gave them to her, and I just said, hey, these are a bunch of shop teachers on Instagram. I suggest you start following them and seeing what they're doing. And she got so excited. She was like, oh, my gosh, I was just wondering if there were any shop teachers on Instagram. I said, yeah, they're there. You know, some of them are super active. Some of them aren't super active, but they're there. And so here's a list to get you started. And she was tickled pink. So I'm going to share, attach it to our podcast or whatever in the show notes as well. And maybe I'll throw it do an Instagram post where I tag everyone in it as well. And then if I missed you, let us know. You know, let us know so we can add you to the list.
Yeah.
Somebody, let us know. Like I said, I love the fact that when I sit down on the couch at night, you know, I'm not watching that 70s show. I get to watch Mr. G's Workshop, Desert West Woodshop, and Double J 304. You know, I just think that's cool.
That is cool. Okay, one more topic, real quick, is recently there's been we share some notes where, like if a person walks in the shop and they want to build something, you have this vetting program, right? And, you know, we shared back and forth. Everybody sort of has this shop teacher obligation where we're supposed to help people in the building, and that's fine. But then also some people have a paperwork you should fill out, like a questionnaire. And that went really well, like everybody was sharing that. You want to just talk about that a little bit?
Yeah, there's been a few kind of, I don't know, like almost light bulbish moments where one of us will post an idea about something, and then all of a sudden there's three or four other shop teachers resharing each other's stories and talking about it as well. And the most recent one was, yeah, Jay Dietrich said, hey, you know, people, this is a form that teachers and people in the building can fill out if they want a project done for them. And then my students can go through this list and see what projects they want to take on. Like if Miss Smith wants a new bookshelf, you know, she fills out this form and then they can decide, oh, I want to build Miss Smith her bookshelf or build Mr. White his cribbage board or whatever it is. And I think that so he put that on there and he said, I was wondering if any of you guys do anything like that. And so I was like, yeah, I do a form like that. And I knew Luke Lockridge did a form like that. So I tagged him in it. So he was talking about the form he did. And then it was kind of neat to see that we all have different questions just because every shop is different, right?
Yep.
And it was cool. I didn't want to see it. And so there's been a few moments like that where I think our community is getting better connected. I think the podcast has helped some to bring people together and kind of realize, oh, hey, there's more of us on Instagram. And yeah, I'm excited to see what more of those moments come up. Another question that that observer asked me is if I go to a lot of conferences or anything. To be honest, I don't, because it's just time and money and hard to do it where I'm at. But I was like,
yep.
But I showed him, like, I pulled up Instagram and I was like, look, we're looking at a shop in Illinois right now. Like this is my conferences.
That's your PD.
Right.
Yeah. So, going forward, what I'm working on is individual projects, and the students this week in my class have to apply and fill out like a 25 questionnaire, that, vets out their project. And I can share that. It's not perfect yet. We'll see how it goes. It's kind of an experiment. I used to just let them pick the individual project, and then I would just work with them individually and figure it out. But I wanted to do a more of a vetting process to make sure that this is what they want to do and do they have the dimensions. So I can share it, and maybe we can compare notes if there's anybody out there that uses some sort of vetting questionnaire program to make sure that their students are really committed to like an individual project. I'd love to hear about it. So maybe that could be a topic coming up.
Yeah. I'll see if I can swing that either through my Instagram or through the shop class podcast Instagram. where, yeah, you shared that with me, and basically, you're, you know, a kid wants to build an electric skateboard, and he's, I don't know, maybe falling through the Dunning-Kruger effect, or isn't fully aware that he isn't capable of making. Maybe he is, but yeah, how do you vet that? How do you vet that out? How do you make sure they're hitting that Goldilocks zone of a challenge when you start getting students to do individual and personal projects? Because a lot of us, I know, love and hate implementing individual and personal projects, because it is cool to see the students' individuality come out and to break away from the cookie cutter mold. But it does spread us thin. And then, yeah, you do end up with both the student biting off more than he or she can do, as well as we bite off more than we can chew when we do that sometimes. So I think that's great to kind of screen them at first and see what's up. So yeah, we'll post that form in the show notes as well, because I've got, you shared it with me. So if you don't mind, I'll just
put sure. And I don't know if it works just yet. And there's like a prerequisite. If you're going to do this, you got to do that. But we'll see if it works. So I'd love to see, maybe someone could test it out as well as me, and I'll get some feedback. And that could be something that we kick around and share. But that's basically it. Thanks for tuning in.
Yeah, exactly. Hit us up. You can email us at shopclasspodcast@gmail.com. Find us on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram at shopclasspodcast. Our most active home being Instagram. And you can find us individually there. Ron is at Mr. G's Workshop, and I am at Jack of All Learning. And thanks for those that are posting and sharing and communicating and collaborating. We love it.
Cool. All right. Good talking to you, Mr. Barbacek. I will talk to you soon.
All right. Talk to you later.
Okay. Bye.
See ya.